We've been talking about, what are you reaching for? How do you reach your full potential in life, but also your full potential in your God-given calling and destiny that the Lord has for you? We put an acronym together about reach. I said there's five things I think we need to reach for. R was evangelism. R was relationships. I know how to spell. E was evangelism. A is accountability. C was calling. And H was the Holy Spirit. We need to reach for the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking about all these attributes of the Holy Spirit. And last week we talked about the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts. And we said, who doesn't like gifts, man? I mean, some people's love language is gifts, right? Is there anybody, you know, there's a five love languages, you've heard of that? Anybody whose love language is gifts? Do you have anybody out there that's gifts? Yeah. Go ahead, you don't have to be ashamed of that. It's all right. It's good. It's good. It's all right, Pat. You can have gifts as your... That's good. I love giving and love getting, right? That's good. That's probably good. But there's this idea of getting gifts. We don't just take our gift and we just set it to the side and don't ever open it. But there's got to be this excitement about, oh, what's in there? And the idea of opening it up. And I remember as a little kid on Christmas, man, I just... You pull all the trees out from gifts out from under the tree, and you'd have them sitting right in front of you, and I could just, oh my gosh, hardly wait. I love Christmas. Even to this day, I still love Christmas. I love buying stuff. I love giving stuff to the grandkids. I love doing all of that stuff. It's fun because there's gifts, and they just wonder what's in there, and it's all so cool. And you go, yes, I got that for you. And I wonder how much the Holy Spirit looks at us with gifts that he's given us, going, oh, open it up. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about this. Please open it up. And we just set it on the shelf. And we do nothing with it. Because we don't understand it, or we're confused by it, or whatever. It could be something we don't understand. Instead of just going, wow, opening it up, and then reading the instructions on how to use it. God has so much for us. Concerning spiritual gift, God does not want us to be ignorant. We talked about that in the scripture last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the very start. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Ignorant means to also ignore. He doesn't want us to ignore them, to be reluctant in the gifts. God does not expect us to understand it all, but he is looking for our willingness to move in the gifts and to trust him. But there is one person who does not want you to open up any gifts that you have that have been given to you from God, to discover anything, any power, anything that the Lord has given you. And who is that? The devil, right? He wants you powerless in this fight. He wants you unequipped in the battle. We talked about how the Holy Spirit was broken in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 into these three branches, from the gifts or the charisma, the ministries or the diakono, the servants, the fivefold ministry, leadership, exhortation, preaching, all of those aspects of gifts. Then there was the activities or the energma, which is helps, the idea of mercy, missions, music, hospitality, intercession, handicraft. There's just so many, many others there. Now, other chapters of the Bible are going to talk about all of those particular things. And in 301, Carpenter Series 301, we're going to go in depth into all of those aspects of those gifts, because I want you to understand how God has gifted you, and that you discover and find and start walking in your gifts. So we'll start that, I think, next semester, don't we, Ellis? Next semester we start 301. Why spiritual gifts, though? These charisma gifts, this first aspect. Why gifts? Because he wants to enable us with power to do the ministry. He wants to enable us with power so you can walk your walk. Now let me say this on the onset. You do not need a spiritual gift to get to heaven. You need Jesus Christ in your life, right? Asking Christ to come into your life, that's what gets you to heaven. However, but you do need spiritual gifts to maximize your calling and your God-given purpose. He's given you help. Remember, we talked about the helper, the advantage we have in the Holy Spirit. He's our advantage. He's given us an advantage to help us in this life to walk it in a powerful way. Yeah. And that's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In battle, when you're fighting, we're fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if you don't understand that, just turn on the TV. Just look at our world today. all of the heartache, all of the pain, all of the everybody doing it their own way and walking further and further away from what truth tells us to do. There's a battle out there. There's a devil out there. And the devil has blinded eyes. He's blinded the eyes of people out there so they can't see. But he's given us Christians a job to enlighten them with the gospel so they might come to know Jesus Christ. And so how do we do that? With just normal knowledge, normal abilities? No, he's given us these spiritual gifts, supernatural abilities from God to help us in this walk, to help us do what we need to do. You know, if you're in a battle, you can be, if somebody gave you a squirt gun and you're going to war, I mean, oh, I can get my secretary today. Okay. Can you imagine going to battle on the front lines in Iraq with a squirt gun? And they're coming after you, you're going, bang, bang, you're dead. You know, I mean, this doesn't work, right? This is useless. Now, if I were going to battle, I'd want something more like this. I would want to have a little bit more armor. I would want the person in charge of me to give me and issue me some weaponry that I might be able to fight in this battle. This isn't very good. This will do nothing. That can help us. However, this, next, can help us more. However, this can help us more. However, this can help us more. However, this can help us more. All right? I'm just saying, what kind of weaponry do you want as you go into battle? I just want to go by myself. Good luck. We're going to put hell out. Okay, I'm going to put hell out. I'm going to just, those flames that are in your life, I'm going to get them out. I'm saying, do you understand? He gave us spiritual gifts to give us the weaponry that we need to fight the battle that we might be victorious against the enemy. But a lot of times we go out there with a squirt gun, or better yet, nothing at all. We take nothing with us. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not of the flesh, but are mighty in God. They're spiritual, for pulling down strongholds." That word mighty is a Greek word. It means powerful or capable. It's possible. The idea that we can do something powerful because God has enabled us, not with natural giftings, although he does do that, but with something that's supernatural, something that comes from God via the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Weapons to help us in the battle. All right, that's introduction. We're going to continue on where we've talked about. We've already talked about 1 Corinthians 12:1 through 6. Let's stand as we kind of complete and talk about from 7 to 11, all right? Say it with me, church. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." You may be seated. I want to go through these gifts. These nine gifts of the Spirit, these charisma gifts, some would call them charismatic, the gifts of the Spirit. Before I get started, though, I want to talk about Corinthians, the book of Corinthians. Why was Corinthians written? Why was this book written? Well, Corinth, the city of Corinth, was a very secular and immoral city. The Greek word that meant to Corinthianize, meant to act like a Corinthian, was a slang word or a synonym, if you will, slang synonym for sexual immorality. Oh, you're Corinthianizing. It was the idea of sexual morality. There was this issue and problems going on. They worship Aphrodite, the goddess of love and beauty. The temple of Aphrodite that was located there had 1,000 temple prostitutes in it. Corinth, as a church, was young. They had just kind of formed. They were just a few years old, but they had some problems in it. They're trying to figure out, how do we walk this walk of Christianity? We're coming from secular society, and we're trying to then walk this walk that God has for us. And there were a number of difficulties as they were trying to figure out how to do it. There were a bunch of problems. And one of the problems was how the spiritual gifts were to be used properly. How do we use these weapons? How do we use these gifts? How does the church do all things decently and in order? How do we put these, if you will, in order? We talked earlier about the fruit of the Spirit, the nine qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. We also have these nine gifts of the Spirit we're going to talk about. These charismatic gifts. And let me say this at the onset as we're going to go and talk through all of these gifts. There are gifts that are given to individuals to be used corporately for the benefit of all or of others. There's gifts that God has given certain ones to be able to use corporately to benefit everybody, to edify everybody. Okay? A gift you have so that all can benefit from. And there are gifts that are given to all that are to be used individually. There's this aspect of these gifts that are individually used and not in a corporate sense for the corporate edification. Instead, it's for the individual edification or personal edification. Two aspects as we go through these gifts that I want to talk about as well. Sorry, I got something in my throat here. So these nine charismatic gifts have a dual purpose. Functioning in the church, expression of the gift to edify and bless the congregation, or individually expression of the gift to edify themselves personally and help you in your personal walk. So let's start in verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. What is the word of wisdom? I'll give you a definition here. The spiritual ability, not a natural ability. Not natural. I've read a lot of books. I have a spiritual ability to perceive life and truth from God's perspective. A lot of people can be wise in how they should do stuff, but there's a different way that God would say it. He said, if you want to gain your life, lose it. That would be a different aspect than the wisdom of the world would say, hey, if you want to climb a ladder of success, climb over a lot of people. And God would say, hey, if you want to climb that ladder, just serve everybody. Get down to the bottom rung and it'll be better for you. I'm just saying that conventional wisdom and spiritual wisdom can look completely different. To see it from truth, from God's perspective, and then apply that wisdom to specific situations. This happens all the time. I'll be in meeting or in board meeting. We're trying to figure out what to do. What's the mind of God? And someone in the board meeting will say, hey, what about this? I feel like the Lord is saying, and all of a sudden, wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. I was in a pastoral meeting that we had of our pastors and licensed ministers, and someone made a comment that was just like, wow, that's, man, it just really helped me because I felt it was something from God, that God gave that person a bit of information of wisdom right there to help us make a decision as we move forward. So we see it corporately can be used to help bless the body. But there's also an individual use of this. Individually, we all are encouraged to grow in wisdom. Individually, we're all encouraged to grow in wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. So there's this idea of it corporately used, that somebody has the gift. And then there's the idea of individually used, that, hey, I need to be walking in a greater sense of wisdom. I need to be reading the scriptures more. I need to be hearing God's voice more. I need to be growing more. To another, second gift here, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. The word of knowledge. Here's a definition. The supernatural ability to receive knowledge of facts about a person or situation, not the result of memory, and not learn through the efforts of the natural mind. This isn't a natural thing. The word of knowledge is fragmented or partial knowledge, meaning that we don't see everything. The Bible says we see through the glass dimly. We can't see everything. We kind of see it with a little bit of fuzziness, and we're trying to describe, if you will, and understand through this thing that's a little fuzzy, but we're doing the best we can to describe or walk out in it. So we have a sense of fragmented or partial knowledge. Disclosing truth, the Spirit Himself wishes to make known. It's what the Spirit wants to make known. The gift of the word of knowledge comes from and through the Holy Spirit to our spirit and reveals something of God's mind for the purpose of edification. He wants to edify. Example that we use here is we have the word of knowledge. The two gentlemen that came forward also, this can be a gift by male or female. The person came forward and felt like the Lord had spoken something to them, that there's these particular people here. That there's someone who has this here, and therefore we want to pray for them. Pastor Joe had a story about, you got a mic, Joe? Tell him a story about you and the word of knowledge.
Yeah, it's been a significant part of my life. I grew up in a church where the charismatic gifts were practiced, but I just kind of thought everybody was kind of loopy that did that, kind of whatever, move on. And I came here, got involved in church here, and kind of saw it and thought, well, that's okay, it's in the Bible, but I still don't get it. The other thing is from a very big family, and my dad was awesome, but he was very, very busy, and I was one of nine kids, church, Christian school in our home, it just seemed like there's a lot going on, and there wasn't necessarily much attention, that sort of thing, and I extrapolated that to my relationship with God. He has billions of kids or whatever, right, and all that, and he's busy, and I'll just stay under the radar, not be in trouble, and everything's okay. I just sort of felt a little bit anonymous with God. Well, I was walking into church here one time, my first year here, right after this building had been completed, and I had hurt my foot playing basketball a couple weeks before. It had been kind of bugging me, and so I was walking into the church, and my foot was hurting, and I just sort of threw out this kind of really weak prayer. Sort of like writing a letter to Santa Claus or something. You know, you go, whatever, you know. And I was like, God, it'd be cool if you healed that. And that was kind of it. I'm like, but not going to happen, you know, kind of like that. So I walked in the building, and after worship, there was a word of knowledge. Said there was a young man, I was young at the time, hurt the ball of his foot a couple weeks ago, and God wants to heal that. And I was like, what? And so I lifted my hand and I prayed for it. And I was healed. And I was like, God, that's amazing. And so I was praying about that. And I felt like God said to me, you know, I could have healed that right then when you're walking in the parking lot. But you would have just gone, oh, it's been a couple of weeks. It's about time. But God wanted to make sure that I knew He heard my prayer. That I wasn't just this anonymous person walking on the face of the planet. But He heard my prayer and that He was answering and healing me. And it opened up my heart to God and that He cared about me. Deeply, personally, and He heard my prayer, and it completely opened up my life to Him and my personal relationship with Him.
Amen. There's amen. Thank you, Pastor Joe. A number of years ago, my sister had come to church, and she had, I think I've shared this numerous times, but it's so profound to me because she was really kind of walking away from the Lord. I wasn't really close at that moment. And we were sitting together right here, and there's a word of knowledge there's a young lady here who has an earache in her right ear, and my sister turns to me and Jasmine, she goes, did you tell them that? I go, tell them what? That I have an earache in my right ear. I go, you never told me that. I don't know that. And then she goes, well, what am I supposed to do? And I go, hon, just raise your hand. They just want to pray for you. And then so she raised her hand, and as she raised her hand, man, these tears just started coming out of her eyes. And, you know, so I didn't think much of it other than, oh, God's touching her and that's really cool. And then she didn't tell me, but she called my other sister and she says, it's the craziest thing. She goes, I had this deal. I don't know what it was. I raised my hand. People prayed for me, laid hands on me, and they prayed for me. And normally when I get an earache, it lasts 4 or 5 days. She has problems with earaches. And so she says, and as I was driving home, because she drove home right after church, back down to Boise, and she said, you know, my ear was healed. I don't know what to make of it. And the issue is this. God wants us to know that He knows you and He's moving on your behalf. I was having lunch 3 weeks ago with a young man who he'd been to church two times. And so we went to lunch and I was chatting with him and we were talking about the things of the Spirit, because we were on this, you know, we've been on this thing about the Holy Spirit and asking some questions, and he talked about the word of knowledge, and I was talking about how we operate in the word of knowledge in our service, and then he goes, yeah, you know, it's really interesting, because when I first came in, I heard the people doing this word of knowledge thing, but I didn't know what to think of it. I thought it was just some sort of prayer. I didn't understand it. And so they were saying stuff and whatever, and yeah, it just passed on, because I want it to be kind of naturally supernatural, not just craziness. We're not out here to try to confuse anybody, but just to kind of, hey, is there somebody here with this? We're going to pray for you, not get weird or crazy or do anything like that. And so he said, I listened to that, and I was going to have him share, but he's not here today. But I called him last night. And he told me I could use a story. I called him last night about 12:15 at night, and he said it was okay. So either that or he was sleepwalking. I don't know. It's anyway. He goes, you know what happened? And we were talking at lunch, and he said, you know, I didn't know anything about that word of knowledge thing, but then I was coming to church. And I have IBS. I have irritable bowel syndrome. I have a real bad problem with that. And he said, so I was coming to church, and I was just talking to God like Joe. I was like, oh, that'd be cool if you, I don't know what that thing is, but if you could do something. And well, anyway, he just had that in his mind, and he was still kind of skeptical of this whole thing. And so he comes in, and the word of knowledge doesn't just say there's a person here who has problems in their stomach or intestine. He said, there's a person here with IBS. Says exactly it. He goes, they described me to a T. And I go, what did you do? And he goes, I did nothing. I go, did you raise your hand? He goes, no, I didn't raise my hand. I didn't know what to do. I was so taken by it. You know, it was like, what? What? And so he said, hey, so will you pray for me? After lunch, will you pray for me? Because I want to receive that thing about the IBS. And I go, you know what? I can do that. But I would rather you do something else. I'd rather you come back next Sunday. And then there's people who are going to pray up there. Just go up there and say, you know what? I was the person who had that IBS problem. I didn't raise my hand, but I want to come. I want to present myself before the Lord. And I want to receive a healing from God. And so he came up, he got prayed for. Then I asked him last night, I said, so how has it been going? He goes, interesting. He goes, it is considerably better. It is remarkably better. It's not completely gone, but he says, I usually have problems every day, and it's like maybe now once a week or so. So God is progressively healing him. I'm just saying that God does amazing stuff. He's trying to read our mail. He's trying to let you know you're not just one of 7 billion out here. I know you. I know exactly what you're going through. I know where you're hurting. I know where you need help. I am sending my body. I am engracing you. I am giving you power. I am giving you gifts. I'm going to help you in this walk called Christianity. He's given us gifts, and he's given us the body of Christ. Now, he could have just prayed himself and done that, but God wants us to need each other. I'll explain that in a moment. There's these corporate gifts that are given for the edification of all, and then there's the idea of it individually that's to be individually used. I get that. But there's this idea of the body, where he wants to see the body moving. Not every person has operates in every gift, although they do have the Holy Spirit, right? They could. But he gives different ones. He graces different ones so the body can be moving as a whole. That we might need each other. Individually, though, we're all encouraged to gain knowledge, this word of knowledge. Proverbs 18:15 says, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So there's this word of knowledge corporately given, but then there's this individual aspect of knowledge that we're to grow in. Number three, faith. To another, faith by the same Spirit. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's this idea of, I don't see it, but I see it. I don't see it naturally, but I see it spiritually as if it's done. And here's a definition. Faith, the spiritual ability to see what isn't, believe it to be, and trust God to do it in his way and his time. A faith, if you will, to move mountains. It says if we have faith and don't doubt, we can move mountains. I've always wondered who was praying during Mount St. Helens. People pray with such faith that they believe it will be done. But individually, we are all encouraged to have faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This idea of getting saved, this idea of walking as a natural man, receiving Christ into your life, is all done by a component called faith. You believe that what the Bible says is true. That if I repent of my sins, Christ will come in. He'll open up heaven's door to me. He'll forgive me of all of my sins. And I will live forever with Him. That's all done by a faith act. By a faith act. Faith is important to all of us. Number four. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Gifts of healings. The spiritual ability to heal one who was sick. Now again, it's not you who heal them. It's not, look at that, man. Heal. The idea is that God is enabling you to be a vessel through which God's healing can flow. You don't do it. You have no power in yourself. Your only power comes from the Jesus that lives inside of you. Spiritual ability to heal one who was sick. It is the supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God that miraculously brings healing and deliverance from disease and infirmities, whether functional, organic, or nervous. It is the power of God that destroys the work of the devil in the human body. Note that Paul called it the gifts, plural, of healings, plural, which may mean that this gifted person could make one who was sick whole, either spiritually, emotionally, or physically. This idea of healing, seeing healing happen. Paul, when he walked, his shadow would bring healing to people. He would touch something and they'd have prayer cloths that they would send out that would heal people. There's this idea of believing that God wants to see us healed. But individually, now that's corporately. Now again, the gift of healing may operate also with the word of knowledge. I have a word of knowledge for you, and then this aspect of praying for to see, or maybe somebody else has that aspect or can believe for your healing. That's why when we have a word of knowledge here and we're praying for somebody, we're believing that somebody here has an aspect of a gift that can really touch this person and bring an aspect of healing that will be total and complete. Individually, though, we're all encouraged to lay hands on people for healing. We're all encouraged, though, to do that. In Mark 16:15-18, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, not meaning that we're going to grab snakes. I think it's talking about, hey, we'll take up and fight the devil, the serpent of all. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. How awesome, man, that God was going to empower them and protect them in the walk. By no means it will hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's one reason why when we gather around a person who's saying, I have an infirmity or I have a sickness or a word of knowledge, I'm responding to it, is the idea of laying hands on them. It's our biblical instruction. Now, if you want to know anything about us here at Living Faith Fellowship, we take the Bible very seriously. And we need to find it in the Scriptures in order to do it. Not just, well, I kind of think maybe you ought to, whatever. No, I need to have a biblical foundation for it. That's why in this church we have Bible Foundations 1, 2, 3, and 4. We have Mirror Class. We have the Carpenter Series 1, 2, 3. We have the idea we want to see people educated so that they know what they believe, they know why they believe it, and then they practice what they believe, and they start walking the supernatural walk that Jesus Christ called us to walk, enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's an adventuresome walk. I'll explain about that in just a little bit more. Number five. To another, the working of miracles. Working of miracles, what's that? The spiritual ability to do works of a supernatural origin and character, such as could not be produced by natural agents and means. The Greek word for miracles here is dunamis, which means power. So a person who operates in the gift of the working of miracles is literally exercising the work of God's supernatural power. We see that all the way through the Old Testament of all the prophets and great men of God who did mighty signs and wonders. And we see that also in the New Testament, the powerful things that they did. As the church was growing and expanding, miraculous things were happening. So we see it in a corporate sense, praying for it, but individually, we're all encouraged to believe for miracles. In Mark 16:20, it says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through them, through the accompanying signs." There were these signs, these miraculous signs that were happening. John 14:12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me," this is Jesus speaking, "you believe in me, the works that I do, these miraculous things that I am doing, he will do also. And you will do greater works than these he will do, because why? I go to the Father." And when he went to the Father, what happened? He sent the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Remember, it's to your advantage. I go away. I'm going to go away. And as I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit that's going to help you. The working of miracles. Number six. And miracles happen in our... Miracles can happen in our natural life, our financial life, our relationships. It's in so many different areas that we're asking God to move miraculously. If not, what do we have God for? God, just do something just regular. God, just, you know, I'm not expecting much. Just going to go through life and just don't show up. I want God to move. I want God to do supernatural. I want God to set up some dominoes that when he pushes them, you go, "Whoa, God, look what happened here." Because God is setting things up. And he's setting them up for people that believe. People that are empowered and enabled and want to walk with the Holy Spirit in a powerful way today. To another prophecy. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." We see prophecy all the way in the Old Testament. We see it also in the New Testament, this idea of unveiling God's will, God's mind. Here's what it says here about prophecy. "The spiritual ability to speak from the mind and counsel of God. Prophecy is used to edify, comfort, and encourage believers within the body of Christ. Additionally, the fivefold office of a prophet is called to speak forth the word of God about current and future events." And we have I look at Steve Stone as a powerful prophetic voice in our congregation. Steve Stone over here, he looks like Moses. A powerful prophetic voice in our church. And if you've spent much time with Steve and you've talked with Steve, you understand that he stutters. And sometimes he can have a difficult time trying to say what he wants to say. He'll stutter, and I've seen him stutter for a while. But you know what? When he gives up and he gives the word of God, gets up and he speaks the word of God, that all of a sudden it comes out without a stutter. It comes out as the oracles of God. And Steve knows everything about my life. He knows everything about me, my kids, my children. He knows everything about everything. I tell Steve all that because Steve also is one of our intercessors, and he passes out all the stuff that people are asking for prayer for to all of our intercessors. I want Steve, I want a prophetic man, I want him knowing that I need you. I need you in my life. I need you. I need your prayers. I covet your prayers. I need the power of the words that you speak over me. I need to know that if you see I'm doing something wrong, I need you to correct me. I covet that. I want God to move through others to me, to help me become all that I'm supposed to be in order for Carrie and I to lead the congregation as you deserve. And we might do it with honor. When I think about prophecy, you see what happens in a service that some, and not everyone, we don't let everybody prophesy. There are a few that prophesy because we need to recognize the gift. I want to encourage everybody too. Wednesday night, we're going to allow anybody to do any and move in the gifts. On Sunday morning, we're going to allow only those who are really called, and we've seen evidence of that spiritual gift, whether in the word of knowledge or whether in the prophetic word. Reason being, because if I have a novice here that gets up and says, God says, and he starts saying something absolutely crazy, because he doesn't understand, or he maybe is not hearing clearly, then he can really mess up a whole lot of people here. I have a lot of visitors that come, and God bless you if you're a visitor today, and I know we have a number, that I want it to know that what we do here is decently and in order. It's not a circus show. We're not some sort of whacked out people who are like crazy. We're people who are earnestly following God and want to know His scriptures, want to know His word, want to hear His voice, and want to walk in obedience, and we want to change our culture. We want to change the world for Jesus Christ. And that He's given us gifts to help us in the battle. Given us gifts to help us in the fight. But most people don't ever go through those gifts. They just look at them and go, oh, not for today, rip them out. I mean, we start ripping pages out of our Bible because, oh, yeah, zip it out. I'm going, I don't think it was intended to be ripped out. I think it was intended to be explained and explored and looked at and going, wow, and desired. I'm going to say that at the end because it's our scriptural instruction, desire spiritual gifts. Prophecy. I love prophecy. We'll also see it at water baptism. Water baptism, there'll be people who will be prophesying over the people that go in the waters. And I'll tell you what, I've seen people crying and be astounded by the words that God spoke over them. That how did they know that? And all this is happening. The power of God is moving and helping and encouraging and blessing and edifying people. If you haven't been water baptized, I encourage you, man, get water baptized. The word of the Lord is amazing. The words spoken in my water baptism are coming true today. The very fact I'm a minister today is because of a portion of a scripture, of a prophecy that was spoken that kind of helped guide me through my life. It doesn't make it happen, but it says, hey, here's what God's plan is for you. And all of a sudden, when it did happen, I look back and go, my goodness. When I gave up my job as a civil engineer, only a year and a half into it, or a year and 1 month into it, and came on staff, part of it was because I knew that the word was spoken back here. I kind of thought it was going to be fulfilled when I was 60, like today. But it was a lot of years before that. Thank God. God wants to say something to a person. I love this aspect of prophecy, and I believe it's a gift for everyone, and I'll say that in a moment, so just keep that in your mind. But this idea of prophecy, I have talked to people, and the Lord will give me a word for somebody. Say something. And I'll go to a person, I'll say, hey, the Lord gave me something to say to you. Would it be okay if I said it to you? And you know what? I've never had anybody go, no, I don't want to know what God has to say. Everybody is curious. Everybody goes, to me? I go, yeah. And he goes, what? And I'll start to share the word that I have for them. And it's amazing to see people's eyes start to water up and tears start to flow. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up. You want to see somebody who doesn't know Christ begin to start coming toward Christ? They realize how much Christ loves them and wants to speak into their life. Sometimes it's a prophetic word sharing what the Lord had to say about him. And then all of a sudden it ties into something. Maybe it's a word of knowledge. I think word of knowledge and prophecy may go together when you're ministering to a person, that God will give you information about the person. They'll go, how did you know that? The Lord just spoke it to me, and he wants you to know that. All of a sudden, this tool, this gift, becomes a can opener that begins to open up this can who's resistant to God. You start opening it up and you can peel back the lid, and all of a sudden their hearts expose, and you begin, and God begins to take them on a journey to find Christ in a powerful way. Prophetic word, word of knowledge are gifts that help us do that. Individually, I believe that we're all called and encouraged to prophesy. In 1 Corinthians 14:39, it says, therefore, brethren, everybody, therefore, brethren, all of you, hey, I'm talking to all of you, brethren also meant sisterin. Therefore, everybody, desire earnestly to prophesy. Desire earnestly to prophesy. We're supposed to desire it. To desire it. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit, my what? My Holy Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Oh man, he's saying, I've got this. Would you accept it? Would you walk in it? Would you allow me to open up the channel to let it flow through you? No, 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 no. And you know, gifts are subject to the person who's operating the gifts. God's not going to force you or make you do something. You've got to want to do it. You've got to want to be a vessel. You've got to want to let it flow through. I want the Holy Spirit to flow through me. I want the valve open all the way. I don't want it. No, I don't know. I don't. God wants to fill us. He wants to fill us. He's got so much for us to do and so many weapons for us to do it with. The Holy Spirit. But I don't understand it. I know I can't figure it all out either. I tell this story. So how many people know exactly how an airplane works? You know, I don't know. It's got lift and this and all of that. And most people can't just build one. But you get in one all the time and you trust yourself to something you don't even understand. Yet we don't trust ourselves to the Holy Spirit because I don't understand it. And so I'm going to back away from it. I'm going, just a second. That's a plane. You know, they don't all have good records. This is God. He's out after your best. And we tell him, I don't get it. And over here, I just walk blindly into it. I'm just saying, Lord, give it to me. Open up the valve. Don't resist it. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. It says we can. We can resist him. Don't grieve him. Don't resist him. Allow him to flow. Allow him to do something that will blow your mind away, that will knock your socks off, that you're walking to work without socks. Hey, what happened to you? Oh, my God did. You know, I mean, he'll give an avenue. Just show him you have no socks. Because that's God. That's God. We're not in the club, ladies and gentlemen. We're not the Elks Club or the Moose Club. We're not here gathering going, oh, okay, great, that was nice. Let's go out there and just do our thing. No, we're coming going, God, Holy Spirit, the Eternal, please move. Amen. Fill us up. Yeah. Help us in our walk out there. You've called us to reach a generation that doesn't even know you. Do you know that the generation today is the first generation? The Z generation is the first generation where the predominant number, the majority, don't know Christ. They don't profess Christianity. It's the first time our nation has ever had a generation that was below the 50% mark that professed Christ. Below 50% professed Christ. There's more than 50 that say, I have no religion. Well, we can sit there and just keep watching the world go to hell in a handbasket and go, say, I told you, I say, I told you. Or we could get in the fight. Or we could start allowing the Holy Spirit to use us and move us and get off our spiritual behinds. And start allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you up and give you words to speak. Give you a prophecy for somebody. Have you asked him for the prophecy for the person next to you? Lord, give me a word for this. Give me a word for that person. Just give me a word. If you ask him for a word, I believe he'll give you a word. Every time I've asked the Lord, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. All of a sudden, he'll start saying something. And it takes the boredom of Christianity to a new level of adventure as you're just riding on the wind of the Spirit, asking God, speak to me, man. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? Oh, boy. I'm thinking. I'm going to go to 7 and stop. Discerning of spirits. The spiritual ability to discern between the spirit of evil and the spirit of good, the flesh and the spirit of truth and the spirit of error before it's fully evident. My wife walks in that. It's like, hey, no, blah, blah, blah. I go, why is that? I don't see it. I know. I just know. How do you know? I just know in my knower that. I go, I don't get any data here. I know it's a spiritual thing, Phil. It's like, And then she's right. But individually, we're all encouraged to have discernment. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. And that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'm going to take and stop there. I have more that I was trying to get through, but I can finish it up next week. I want you to stay in this mindset though next week, okay? As we start, because we're going to start on tongues. Everybody's going to go, what? I'm going to go, yeah! It's going to be good! The funny thing is, why would we be afraid of something that God wanted to give us? Because the devil's really good about getting you to not like what's good and to like what's not good. To run away